estimated that nearly 5 million Americans suffer from chronic wounds, the result of diabetes, poor circulation of the lower extremities, edema, as well as pressure ulcers and traumatic injuries. These are more than simply painful annoyances. A chronic wound that won't heal and is left to progress can result in significant complications that can include amputation and sepsis, a serious blood infection that can even result in death. Well, joining me this morning to discuss the causes and treatments for these types of chronic wounds is Dr. Marvin Hibore, Assistant Professor of Emergency Medicine at Upstate Medical University. Dr. Hibore is board certified in undersea and hyperbaric medicine and is a certified wound specialist and the medical director of the Hyperbaric Medicine and Wound Care Center. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
So nice of you to join us today. Let's start out by explaining what constitutes a chronic wound. How would you know you had a chronic wound?
Well, really, normally when we get injured, get a cut, or have some skin rubbed off, our body naturally knows how to heal that wound, and that we actually go through, our body goes through three stages of healing. You know, first an inflammatory phase and a granular phase, and then new skin forms, and then that skin becomes stronger over time. Unfortunately, there are certain patients with certain medical conditions that will develop a wound that is unable to heal in the natural way that we normally expect.
Yeah, that's surprising in some ways for me, because you know, you generally, if you've had no experience with that, assume that if you cut yourself, it's going to heal. So who gets affected? Who are the types of people? I made some allusion to that in the introduction, but who gets affected with chronic wounds, by chronic wounds?
So there's really several different types of wounds that we see. In diabetics, over time, they can actually develop a diabetic peripheral neuropathy in their legs.
Which means they can't feel.
They can't feel as well. Some patients experience trouble with chronic pain as a result as well. So they may go for a walk on the beach, and they don't notice that in their sandal, between their foot and their sandal, there's a stone rubbing on a certain area. They don't feel that. We would have felt it right away, and we would have kicked out that stone and kept walking. So they walk down the beach for 30 minutes, and then that evening, lo and behold, they notice that there's a small opening in their foot.
Mm-hmm.
Once that's developed, that may not heal as expected, and that can have to do with the fact that they have ongoing pressure issues in their foot. They may have issues with the small blood vessels in their
all
skin.
Due to the diabetes.
All due to the diabetes, so that they don't heal. You also have patients who, over time, develop a lot of swelling in their legs, and that's called venous stasis, and that is a disease due to poor veins. And due to that swelling, they can get blisters and breakdown in their skin. And once those wounds develop, it can be very difficult to heal them as well. And then we, of course, know about patients with pressure ulcers, whether it's from a prolonged hospital, staying in ICU, or from a quadriplegic or paraplegic that develops a wound from laying too long on one part of their body.
So the skin naturally breaks down in that circumstance.
It can.
That's what bed sores, that's what you're talking
correct.
About. And but in those cases, why don't those people heal? I mean, what's the underlying mechanism for that generally? Is it always circulatory?
And for those patients with pressure ulcers, a lot of times it has to do with ongoing pressure and damage to those tissues even after the wound appears.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other factors we look at as well, including nutrition.
Mm-hmm. So with what are the primary ones that you run into then? It sounds like diabetes and those kinds of foot ulcers or foot non-healing wounds are a majority of what you see. How about radiation? Does that present a problem?
We definitely do see radiation necrosis. It's a more rare complication of radiation therapy in cancer survivors, and it's only a small percent of patients that actually develop that. And that can develop as some type of damage to a particular bone. A bone that's particularly susceptible to that is the mandible, our jawbone, where the blood supply is more tenuous, and those patients can actually get some destruction of the bone. Or we see it in certain soft tissues. We may see ulcerations in the non-healing wound in the mouth, sometimes on the skin in a patient who had breast cancer and got radiation and now has a non-healing wound in their chest.
So it strikes me listening to you that the majority, for whatever the causation at the outset for a non-healing wound, the lack of circulation or poor circulation, which seems to be a major reason why it won't heal. Is that correct?
That's correct. And the inhibition in the blood flow is usually the small blood vessels. Once we've addressed large blood vessel flow and the vascular surgeons have taken a look and we've determined if there needs to be any type of stent or bypass surgery, beyond that, a lot of times it's trouble with the small blood vessels. Now, that could be due to pressure that continues to damage those small blood vessels. That could be due to diabetes, which tends to destroy those small blood vessels. Or we talked about swelling, and in that case, the small blood vessels just can't reach all the way up from where they start out to the surface of the skin because there's too much swelling in between.
But just to go back to your initial statement about the three stages of healing, in order for natural healing to take place, there needs to be sufficient circulation is what I guess I'm getting at. Mm-hmm. Because of the oxygenation, I mean, help us understand that very briefly.
That's very correct. So you need the blood flow to the area so that all the cells involved in healing, and there's different types of cells, from neutrophils and macrophages, all these different cells, to just oxygen itself to help these cells in the healing process.
So they need oxygen, and they all need to be able to travel to the site through circulation and do their
That's
jobs.
That's correct. They need to be able to get there, and then they need the oxygen and nutrients in order to do their job.
So the majority of types of patients that you see at your wound care center are?
We see a lot of patients with venous stasis ulcers, diabetic foot ulcers, and pressure ulcers.
Okay.
We also, when we talk more about specialized therapies in the area of hyperbaric medicine, is where we tend to see the patients who have some form of radiation necrosis.
Well, hold that thought because we're going to take a short break and we're going to come right back to talk about that. So stay right there. I'm Linda Cohen. This is HealthLink on Air, FM News Radio 106.9 and 570 WSYR. Welcome back to HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen along with Dr. Marvin Heiboer, chronic wound healing specialist. Well, before the break, we kind of went through what constitutes a chronic wound. Just to review, a chronic wound, how would you know you had a chronic wound? It wouldn't heal by how much time?
Typically, you expect wounds to heal in 7 to 14 days. So if you're getting 2 to 3 weeks out and you're still not seeing healing, you need to start to realize that you may have a problem.
It's interesting because during the break, you and I were chatting and you said that there are some people who somehow come to the conclusion that they have to live with these kinds of wounds. And that's not really true, is it? I mean, it sounds to me like what we're going to talk about going forward now is that there really are ways of healing these wounds.
That's correct. So there are options for these patients. And a lot of times they struggle with standard therapy. What we would typically do, we put some antibiotic ointment and a Band-Aid and we expect it to heal, and it doesn't heal, and they get frustrated, and after a while they just start to decide that they are forever destined to have this wound and live with it. And it's important for them to know that there are treatments out there and there are options in order to get complete healing.
And Upstate's Wounds Care Center obviously is one of them. I mean, is a significant one. And we're going to talk more about the specialized stuff that we offer with the hyperbaric chamber in a minute. But okay, so basically, let's focus, with diabetic ulcers. How do you go about healing a wound at this point? What are some of the treatment modalities that you would use if a patient would come to you with a non-healing wound?
So when we first see a diabetic with a diabetic foot ulcer, we take a look at several different areas that may be causing non-healing. The pressure is going to be a big one in getting pressure off of that wound and protecting that foot. We also want to look at their glycemic control, their control of their sugars and their overall diet and nutrition. Then a lot of these patients with diabetes and diabetic foot ulcers will have trouble with blood flow in their legs, and they may need to see a vascular surgeon about that. And finally, There's always the possibility as well that we still don't get healing there, and that there's a trouble with small blood vessels. So in diabetics with these higher sugars and lack of good insulin, they actually can go on to develop destruction of their small blood vessels, their capillaries, their arterioles, and we call that microvascular disease. And as a result, they may have blood flow that's adequate down to their leg. But once the blood gets down there, they can't get the blood to the tissues and to the wound in question.
So then what do you do?
In that case, if we figure out if they're a candidate, and they may actually be a candidate for hyperbaric oxygen therapy.
Why don't you define that? Because obviously, so before you go to hyperbaric, are there things that you would do? You mentioned kind of doing a kind of an evaluation and figuring out what are the other potential contributing factors. But are there any other treatments that you would apply to a wound? You said you would remove pressure from it. Are there any other treatment modalities you would use before you would then resort to something like hyperbaric?
There are definitely other modalities. Typically, when a patient comes into our clinic, they're surprised to find out that we actually want to see them on a weekly basis. So we're not going to see them and then say, see you in 2 months, good luck, do what we told you. We actually want to see them on a weekly basis, walk them through this process. And one of the reasons we want to see them on a weekly basis is a lot of times these wounds that don't heal, the cells involved in healing are stalled. And there's a certain element of bacteria there as well. And so you get some of this dead tissue on top of these wounds. And we have fancy names for that. But the fact is that once that byproduct is lying on top of that wound, that also slows down healing. So we actually will go about cleaning off that dead tissue on a weekly basis.
Is that called like debridement or something?
That's called debridement.
Yeah, so you're removing the dead cells so that the new potentially live cells, the baby cells that are growing, can kind of come to light, so
correct,
to speak.
And we actually get two purposes. That dead tissue inhibits wound healing, so we remove it, and the stimulation of the healthy tissue underneath actually stimulates healing, so we get a double benefit.
Are there medicines that you use too, or things that you can apply, cellular aids, things that help the cells develop more readily or rapidly?
Actually, yes, we have certain types of xenografts. So instead of your typical traditional skin graft, where you actually have to take skin from another part of your body, there's now the possibility of taking a graft and called an applograft and putting that directly on the wound and promoting wound healing as
well. So the applograft is made of what?
It's actually made of a skin, a human skin from a donor.
Okay, so
and it's had all of these antigens and different things removed from it,
and so that
then
by
they've
your
been
body
able
won't
to grow
reject
those
it.
Cells over and over and over again, and so that they developed it, and so it's a latticework, if you would, a framework that you can lay on top of this wound that then your body's cells can walk across, and it's filled not only with a lattice or a structure for your cells to grow new skin over and fill in, but also it's filled with growth factors to help stimulate that process.
And the fact that you remove the antigens, then the body won't reject someone else's
That's
skin,
correct.
So to speak. And that how successful is that? That sounds quite amazing.
It's got significant improved healing rates in both diabetic foot ulcers and venostasis ulcers that won't heal.
That's really exciting.
Really double healing rates.
How long has that been around?
For a few years now. It's a newer product.
Mm-hmm. That's fabulous. That really is. So now let's get to what hyperbaric oxygen therapy, because that's obviously something that we offer or you offer at Upstate that is significant. Is it the only one in the area?
It is not the only one in the area, but we are the only facility that is hospital-based within the hospital with all the resources of the hospital itself. And we are the only facility in all of Central New York available to patients 24/7.
Wow. Well, that's... That alone
and
is
in patients as well, if it's needed.
So tell me, what define hyperbaric or hyperbaric oxygen therapy?
So it's really a matter of breathing 100% oxygen under pressure. And so in the chamber where the patient is, we actually double and sometimes triple the pressure inside the chamber while they're breathing 100% oxygen.
You mean the air pressure on them?
The pressure that's on them, yes.
So they're not only getting, in terms of the intake, they're breathing in full oxygen, where when we breathe normally, we have a lot of other gases that we take in, right?
Correct.
But in addition, the pressure that's that we feel on the skin is increased. Is that correct?
You really wouldn't feel an increase in the pressure on the skin. And there's this idea out there, I think sometimes when they hear about a hyperbaric chamber, that they're going to have to get in water to get in the chamber as well. And they really are just lying on a stretcher that's going in a chamber that you can see through. And we're increasing the pressure. The only place you're really going to feel that pressure increase is places in the body where you have a closed airspace, specifically the middle ear. And so,
like when you're in an airplane, you feel those pressure changes.
Yeah, you feel the pop. So the nurse that's going to be with the patient the whole time helps the patient with clearing their ears. And that's really during the first 10 or 15 minutes of treatment. And after that, it's just a matter of being able to buy the time and watch a television show.
How long do they have to be in there?
Typically, treatments are anywhere between 90 and 120 minutes, so an hour and a half to 2 hours. And this can be anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks.
You mean successive treatments?
Correct, Monday through Friday.
Oh, so what is the underlying concept then as to why it works, or how does it work, and does it work?
So if we're sitting here now and we're breathing air, and we're at just one atmosphere of pressure, we're breathing approximately 200 millimeters mercury of oxygen, 200 millimeters mercury.
That's the way you measure it.
Yeah, and if you get in the hyperbaric chamber and get to a standard treatment, you can actually be getting between 1,600 to 2,000 millimeters mercury of oxygen.
You mean in terms of the amount of oxygen?
That you're breathing. Mm-hmm. And that oxygen goes into your lungs, goes into the blood, and goes into the tissues. So if you have these tissues that are low in oxygen, we can increase the oxygen content. And it actually has been shown to increase growth factors in these problem non-healing wounds. And it's also been shown to stimulate release of the own patient's stem cells that can become new blood vessels, new collagen, all the things needed to heal that wound.
That's amazing. So it sounds almost like when you put someone in a intensified oxygen setting, it's more productive for life in a way. I mean, there's more cell growth. Is that correct?
We can stimulate cell growth in these problem non-healing wounds.
Yes. I'm wondering, though, does that have any repercussions for cancer? I mean, you would think that where you have cells that are kind of growing willy-nilly, you wouldn't want to put someone with cancer in a hyperbaric chamber, would you?
So it's a good question. And actually, it specifically benefits these problem non-healing wounds. But if you have a standard wound or no wound at all, you're really not going to see much in the way of change. And we've looked at the literature over the past 40 years, and there's no evidence that it stimulates cancer or progression of cancer in those with
But
cancer.
It does heal the wounds.
But it does heal wounds.
That's amazing. That's really wonderful. And it's really exciting to know that we have something like that right here in Central New York. How do people get involved with this center or the Wound Care Center?
We are available online if they want to check us out under Upstate's website, under Wound Care or Hyperbaric Medicine, depending on which one they'd like to look at.
And they can get a referral through their physician
and
if
they
need it?
And they can talk to their primary care physician and tell them they'd like to be referred to the Wound Care Center at Upstate.
Well, that's great. Well, Dr. Marvin Habor, Assistant Professor of Emergency Medicine at Upstate Medical University and Certified Wound Specialist. Thanks so much for joining us today. You really shed a lot of light on this problem that I don't think a lot of people understand the significance or the problems associated with a non-healing wound. Well, we have to take another short break. We'll be right back. I'm Linda Cohen. This is HealthLink on Air, FM News Radio 106.9 and 570 WSYR.